Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today I'd like to talk about the confession you make as a Christian that testifies that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. The testimony we give with our mouths is important, for without that testimony we are condemned to hell forever. Those who do not testify that Jesus Christ is Lord will be forever lost. But there is more to your testimony than the testimony of your lips. Your lips give the initial confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, but you also give testimony by the way you live your daily life and by the Spirit that dwells within you. But let me ask you something first, and that is, what moves you? You know, what are the things that move you emotionally? What are the things that stimulate you? What things do you like enough so that you respond to them fervently? The Holy Spirit is given to every person when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord, but when the Holy Spirit comes into you, it moves you. You respond to it, at least if you're a real Christian. There are those, of course, who aren't real Christians, but just Christians in name only. These people think that they respond to the Holy Spirit, but they actually respond to a different spirit. You can be moved by the things of this world, or you can be moved by heavenly things. When God's Spirit moves you, it moves you according to godly things, according to heavenly things. Colossians 3:2 tells us to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. But Satan doesn't want you to set your affection on God. He wants you to delight yourself with the things of this world. This world is a physical place, and Satan wants you to be just a physical person. We start out by being physical people, and this is where Satan wants us to stay, just physical people. But God calls every person to be born again in spirit. When we are born again, we become born again in spirit. This is when the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes real to us. And it is at this time that God's Holy Spirit is given to us and begins to move us concerning the things of God. So, what is it that stimulates you in this world? What is it that you respond to? Just for example, let me ask you another question. Which do you look forward to the most? Church on Sunday morning or going out to eat afterward? For many people, going out to eat excites them more than the thought of church worship or listening to the preacher. However, the Holy Spirit that should be moving you to do whatever you do and to say whatever you say is God's Spirit. And when God's Spirit moves you, it only moves you for things of God. It is your flesh that desires food, and that's normal. And that's not the problem. But a problem exists for Christians when they get more excited about dining out, or going to the store, or watching certain television programs than they do about reading the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the liaison between God and men. The Holy Spirit is the way God communicates directly with us. Sure, we read or hear God's spoken word, and we also have the outward demonstration of God's word through the example of Jesus Christ. But it is the Holy Spirit which gives witness to us about the things of God. The Holy Spirit moves us to words and actions concerning godly things. But God is not about restaurants, fancy clothes, fancy cars, fancy houses, sports, hobbies, or professional recognition. He isn't concerned whether or not you get a good laugh from the nightly sitcom. God is concerned with His own heavenly things, and that's what He wants for us. So when the Holy Spirit moves you, It won't move you toward fleshly desires. Believe me, God knows how to give good gifts, and God's good gifts are not the delights of this fleshly world. It is Satan who has deceived most humans into thinking that the good gifts are worldly gifts. However, in the end, every man will stand before God and will have to give an answer for what they spent their time doing. When you stand before God on Judgment Day, He's going to determine the state of your heart. It will be your heart that God looks at, not the outside of you. He will want to know whether you truly had a heart for God or not. It's kind of like God is courting you. He wants to see if His prospective bride is really interested in Him or not. After all, He's planning on living with His new bride forever and ever and ever. Forever is a long time to be married to a bride if she isn't really interested in her husband. God doesn't want to be married to you forever if you like the things this world offers more than you like the heavenly things that He offers. If you want to disappoint God, all you have to do is be moved by earthly things instead of heavenly things. There's an interesting verse found in the book of Proverbs. It is Proverbs 20:27. It says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." This verse tells us that it is man's spirit which allows God to look down deep inside a man's heart. It is the moving of your spirit which gives God an accurate picture of your heart. Your spirit will reveal what is in you. When you are moved by any spirit, whether it is God's Holy Spirit or Satan's evil spirit, you will demonstrate by your words and actions what that spirit moved you to do or say. Every time you open your mouth, you are demonstrating what is in your heart. Your spirit takes what's in your heart, and then it moves your body to respond. And your body can't act on its own. Your body can only act according to what your spirit finds in your heart. This concept is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which tells us that the Holy Spirit searches the deep hidden things of God and reveals them to us. And it works the same way with whatever spirit dwells within us. If your heart desires to read the Bible, your body will pick up your Bible. If your heart desires to worship God, you will worship God. However, if your heart desires to play around with the things of this world, your body will respond by playing around with things of this world. It will take what is in your heart, and it will move your body accordingly. When you stand before God on Judgment Day, He will take a look at the three witnesses you have given in this world. The first witness will be your lips. What you confess with your mouth will be one testimony you will give on Judgment Day. However, if this was the only testimony needed in order to establish what your heart is really like, then anyone and everyone who made a confession with their lips would go to heaven. But Jesus told us very plainly in Matthew chapter 7 that there will be many people who will confess Jesus Christ with their lips, but who aren't really Christians at heart. And in Matthew 15:8, Jesus is talking about hypocrites and quotes the prophet Ezekiel, who said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Did you hear that? Jesus is saying that the lips are saying one thing, but the heart isn't anywhere close to Him. It isn't the lips that get you into heaven. It is the heart that must be established in righteousness and in holiness. In order to determine what you have a heart for, God will look at the three testimonies that you give of yourself. On Judgment Day, the truth will be established by your own testimony, and this testimony will be from the three parts of you that make up what you really are. The three testimonies God will look at is 1, the confession of your lips, 2, the actions of your body, and 3, what spirit is moving you. Now, most people who go to church don't have any trouble confessing Jesus Christ as Lord with their lips. The trouble most people have is having their everyday words and actions conform to what their lips confessed on Sunday. Saying you love Jesus is a lot different than demonstrating it with your actions and words in the home and on the job. Besides, there are so many things in this world to take our attention away from God. There are the nightly television news programs that are more entertaining than informational. There are shopping malls where you can shop till you drop. There are automobile dealerships which cater to the desire of the eyes and especially to the pride of life. In short, we find that the gold and silver of this world and all the precious things which stimulate the flesh are in abundance, but the things of heaven, the things above, don't seem to be all that stimulating. If this is true for you, and you like the gold and silver and all the precious things of this world, then you have a real problem. It may be that your everyday actions and words are testifying that your heart pants after the things of this world and not really after the things of God. If you're born again in spirit, you have to be born again in God's spirit. And to be born again in God's spirit, you have to be in Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians that the promise to Abraham was to Abraham's seed. Then Paul explains that the promise was not to many seeds, but only to one seed, which is Jesus Christ. Now, because the promise of Abraham is only to Jesus Christ and not to everyone who are descendants of Abraham, we must then be in Christ in order to be partakers of the promise. That's why the Bible tells us that we are part of the body of Christ. We aren't Christ himself, but part of him. He is the head of the body, and we are individual members of that body. Now this is important. In order for Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, we must become members of his body, parts of his body. We do this by what Jesus described as eating his flesh and drinking his blood. In John 6:56, Jesus puts it this way, "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him." You see, we must be part of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Because Jesus is the Word of God, therefore we must eat the Word of God and drink the Word of God. The Word of God must be in us and also be demonstrated by us. And another most important concept to consider is that you must also have the Holy Spirit within you if you are going to demonstrate God's Word in your daily life. And the only way you get the Holy Spirit is to have the Father and the Son dwelling within you. The Holy Spirit doesn't go where God doesn't go. And besides, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit which is in Jesus Christ. Now, stop and think about this for a moment and see if you can follow this concept. Try to comprehend that by being part of the body of Christ, you will then have the same Spirit that Jesus has. If the Spirit that lived in Jesus was the Holy Spirit of God, and if you are part of Jesus, then you will have the same Spirit he has. You can't be part of the body of Christ and have a different spirit than Jesus does. And this is a most wonderful thing when you stop to think about it. If Christ truly dwells in you, or in other words, if the Word of God dwells in you, and Jesus is the Word of God, then God's Holy Spirit also dwells within you. And if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, then it will move you. It stands to reason that if Christ is moved to words and actions by the Holy Spirit, and if you are in Christ as a member of his body, then that same Spirit will also move you. And it will only move you to speak and act things which Jesus would speak and act. In everything that you say and do, you will be testifying of God. Your everyday words and actions will be the same words and actions that Jesus would speak and do. And also, the evidence of what things move you, what things stimulate you, what things excite you, will demonstrate most explicitly what Spirit is in you. If you are moved by the things of this world instead of moved by the things of God, then the spirit which dwells within you is the wrong spirit. If the human side of you is being stimulated all the time with worldly delights instead of your born-again spirit man being delighted with godly things, then God will know what spirit lies within you, and He will also know what kind of heart you really have. You might be deceived, but God won't. Believe me, what spirit is within you speaks out loud and clear by the way it moves you. God is not stupid. It is mankind that is stupid when they think they can play around with everything in this world that stimulates their physical flesh and have very little desire for the heavenly things of God. In Revelation 18:12-14, it lists the things of this world which the whore of great Babylon loves. Listen to this list. It says, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fragrant wood and all kinds of vessels of ivory and all kinds of vessels of most precious wood and of bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and animals and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that your soul lusted after have departed from you, and all things which were dainty and good are departed from you, and you shall not find them any more at all. Notice that all these things were dainty and good. Dainty means they are extra nice. It's like a pastry, which is a dainty food compared with a piece of whole wheat bread. The dainty things of this world are here to test you, to see what your heart really goes after. God doesn't want a bride that sleeps around. He wants a bride that is content with the things He provides. He wants to see if while you are on this earth, whether or not you will be content with heavenly things. Lots of people say they love God, and lots of people say they love the Word of God. But when it comes right down to the bottom line, most people really like the things of this world. Of course, you're different. You're a peculiar person. At least, hopefully you are. But whether you're different from most people or not is going to be determined by what is in your heart. And what is in your heart will be determined by whether or not you are actually in Christ, or if you're just claiming to be in Christ, but have a different spirit moving you. You are testifying of who or what you really love every day of your life. Everything you do and everything you say is a witness for your heart. Jesus explained to us that the need for two or three witnesses in order to establish truth was also a necessary thing for He Himself. He said in John 5:31, that if He just bore witness to Himself alone, His witness was not considered to be true. Of course, we know that every word Jesus spoke about Himself was true, but Jesus said it wouldn't be considered true unless He had the other two witnesses which proved it to be true. But then He also explained that God also gave testimony of Him, and the Holy Spirit did too. And because of these other two witnesses, then, and only then, His own testimony, which He gave of Himself, was known to be true. It's no different for us. If we testify with our own lips that Jesus is our Lord, our Master, then that is only one witness. Just as Jesus Himself told us that His own words weren't established as truth without the other two witnesses of the Father and the Holy Spirit, we also need the other two witnesses to establish that the words of confession from our mouths are true. When you say you're a Christian, that is only one witness. When your everyday words and actions conform to your initial testimony, then that is two witnesses. When your spirit is seen to be a gentle spirit and your spirit is seen to be a loving and forgiving spirit, And when your spirit moves you emotionally for things of heaven instead of things found on the TV or at the shopping mall, then you finally have a third witness to prove you really are a Christian. It's only then that God recognizes that you truly do have a heart after God. Those who have no confirming testimony from their body or spirit will find themselves being cast out of the presence of God. God doesn't like liars.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
You know, we all have opportunity to give testimony in three different ways. First, we give witness that God is truly in our hearts by our lips, which confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master. Secondly, we live out our lives every day and people see the testimony of our daily words and actions. And thirdly, the things which move us demonstrate whether the spirit within us is good or evil. The result of these three witnesses will determine your eternal fate. We humans are made in the image of God. Therefore, our testimony gives witness in the very same way that God's three witnesses bear testimony. God is true because He not only testifies of Himself, but because we have seen the outward demonstration of God in bodily form through Jesus Christ. Jesus conformed in every way in His words and actions with the testimony of God. Therefore, God received the second testimony, which testified that the words He spoke were actually true. And thirdly, God's Holy Spirit moves the hearts of men toward righteousness and also brings power to the Word of God through signs and wonders. In this way, God is vindicated in all that He says and does. He is truly the all-powerful, loving God that He claims to be, because His outward form of Jesus Christ and His blessed Holy Spirit both give witness that His word is true. It's no different for you or me. We also give three witnesses each and every day as to the state of our hearts. In the end, God will judge us by these same three witnesses. It will not be just our lips that testify, but also our bodies and spirits. If you think you can get to heaven on just one testimony, think again. God is looking at your actions and your spirit, too. He will determine through these if the testimony of your lips is really true or if you're just claiming to be something you aren't. Anyone can claim to be a Christian, but only those who actually are moved by heavenly things will end up proving their hearts before God. Don't be deceived. If your heart deceives you, then God, who is greater than your heart, will also know what you really are.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 114, Threefold Testimony. As always, there is no charge for any of our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.